This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
NFL. This is watching NFL games is becoming increasingly difficult for a lot of people. I mean, not for us. We're both still in our working years, and you can afford to have 15 subscriptions.
I went different with difficult. I got you now.
However, a lot of people can't. I mean, this is not a joke. People are listening to our show right now are fixed incomes. A lot of older people on, you know, Social Security and whatever savings they may have. And things are tight for people. And one of their favorite things to do is to watch football. It's, you know, it's an American, that's how Sundays are spent in America, have been for, you know, 50, 60 years. Do you know now that the NFL is in talks with Netflix for taking away the Sunday games from Fox or CBS?
It's unbelievable.
That's different. This isn't like the Thursday night game or the Sunday the morning novelty in London or Munich or whatever. They're talking about taking Sunday football games away and making it on a pay platform now. See, you know, that's a big deal.
But see, it is a big deal, but this goes in the category of there's nothing new under the sun. Because this is the same conversation we had 35 years ago when Sunday night football was on ESPN. And people say they didn't have cable TV. So,
but now all the games are going to be on, like, they're separating them. They're all on different platforms. Ones, yeah. But the one thing I'd say about this, too, is, like, they said this years ago that, and maybe it's not the way that people think, that you're going to have to pay-per-view for all these games.
Phil Backer texted me 2 years ago and said, you said on air over a decade ago that the NFL will go pay-per-view.
And again, it doesn't mean that you have to order the paper. Like, you are paying to view now all the other things that used to be included. But now you have to have Amazon. You have to have Peacock. You have to have Netflix. They make you have everything.
What you got, Jeremy? Who gets your shovel?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things. I'm going to give it to this reporter. So the Dodgers have brought in a sleep specialist for their overseas trip to Australia and Korea to prepare players for jet lag, which sounds awesome, right? So they're playing the Cubs in one of those series. And they asked Craig Counsell if the Cubs were doing the same. He said, we're talking about a lot of things with the trip, but no sleep specialists. We will recommend sleep, however. It's so great because look, the Cubs could afford this. It just shows you how ridiculous it is what the Dodgers are doing, because not only can you allocate money to make sure all your players are happy and do all the right things for them.
That's just a flex.
That is a big flex.
That's a flex.
You're bringing in a sleep specialist? So you got to teach you how to count sheep? Like, what the hell? What's he do? The proper way? Like, I go to bed with the TV on. My wife hates it. She got used to it. Anyway.
My shovel goes to the NBA superstar, Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant was asked about the NBA and the popularity of it, his pushback was, I think it's more fun to complain about the NBA than it is to actually watch it. Kevin, did you think that through before you said it?
What a dumb thing.
Did you think about that? Kevin, you're right. It is more fun to complain about it because there's no fun watching it. Listen, you keep acting as if this is no big deal. The NBA is the only one of the three leagues that lost viewership. That includes baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing viewers. And what these guys don't understand is they don't understand the business of the NBA. When you lose viewers, you lose sponsors. When you lose sponsors, you lose TV deals. When you lose TV deals, you lose money.
You know why, by the way, with Kevin Durant's comments, why it's more fun to bitch about the NBA than actually watch it? Because when I show up to watch a game or when I go to a game, I don't know if you're playing.
Exactly.
I don't know if you're playing even when you're healthy.
You know, you always, when a wide receiver says something or does something, you always say, they're divas.
Yeah.
And because wide receivers are different than everybody else in the NFL, am I right?
I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's one of the positions that can do everything right and not see the ball.
Okay. We can accept wide receivers. Why? Because they're the only ones of their kind, right?
Yep.
Imagine having an entire league of wide receivers. Oh, we do. It's called the NBA.
You know what? I tell you what. I think you may have hit a nail on the head
That's what the NBA is. It's a league full of wide receivers.
What do we bitch about wide receivers, man? Why are they taking plays off?
Exactly.
That's actually a bullseye.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why people, I can deal with Tyreek Hill. You know why? Because he's the only one like that on the Dolphins.
I can
deal with somebody. You can deal with these guys. You can deal with Tyreek Hill because there's a Justin Jefferson in Minnesota who's not quite like that. You know what I mean? You can deal with these guys because they're few and far between and they're super talented. But you can't deal with a league where everybody's that way.
I don't know how this league can honestly look in the mirror and go, we're effing this up by giving players off back. If you sign a contract and you are healthy, you play in said game. That's it. I mean, that's basically what it should be.
This dude said, I think it's more fun to complain about the NBA than it is to actually watch it. When he said it, I'm like, I literally froze live TV ad. I paused it. I was like, well, wait a minute. Did this Mary Franklin just say it's more fun to complain? Yes, you're right. It is.
He's been at the center of a lot of controversy, too, because as much as I love Kevin Durant, and he is, I don't want to say he's a one of one, but he kind of is. That's a special player.
He is.
Things are changing now. When we call him being 6'10 or whatever, almost 7 foot, being able to handle the ball and shoot the way he does, and all of a sudden it's like, do you guys see Gumby over there? Wemby? That guy just keeps stretching. You know, he can dunk from his knees.
Complain about the NFL, viewership goes up. Baseball, viewership went up. The difference is NBA, people are complaining and they're not watching. That's different. When you are complaining and you're not watching, then you got a problem. If you're complaining and still watching, who cares? Keep watching. Keep complaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the only one of the three leagues that's losing viewership. And they're paying a lot of money to these guys.
It's so hard to defend because, like I said, I'm a what you would call a P1. They can pretty much do whatever they want. They're not going to lose me because basketball's in my blood. I will bitch about it from time to time, but I can't stand. I mean, the flopping was one thing when that started and trying to like cheat and draw. I mean, you're basically, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
faking like you got hit. So the ref sees it from a certain angle and calls it, which is okay. Maybe there's some gamesmanship to that. You cannot tell me that these players, once they sign contracts, should be playing every game that they're healthy for. If you're not healthy, then don't play.
Commissions Baltimore at 8 o'clock, but on the other side is the barbershop topic of the day. Spring training is underway. Now that it is, how do you grade Baltimore's offseason? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. It's the barbershop topic of the day on this hump day Wednesday.
Is that Ed on the cowbell?
Yes. You play cowbell?
You got to have more cowbell.
That's nice.
How you feel about the Orioles offseason, Ed?
I'm kind of like, meh.
Eh.
Yeah. Meh. Not hating it, not liking it, but loving it. I thought there'd be somebody, you know. Thought we'd add pitch. Look, Means is gone now. I don't know what the... What's up with Bradish? How's his health? Is he going to be pitching this summer?
July is what they're
saying. Is that what they're saying now? Mm-hmm. Jeez, it was.
How long does it take him to ramp up? But again, yeah. Will it matter? Because this team's built for the regular season.
Yeah. Is Bautista ready to go?
Yep. Yes.
He's ready.
They said he will be ready opening day Toronto.
Okay. See his glove with the mountain stitched into it? That was cool.
Mateo will not be ready for opening day, most likely. Most likely will not be ready. But he might be ready by the time they would have needed him anyway. He's coming off the bench.
You know, here's what I'd say about this offseason. I think it's like, I would call it a B because there's a lot of unknowns and you have most of your pieces here. As I've stated numerous times, whether you agree with me or not, This is one of the best baseball rosters in the league right now.
It is.
The only one that you could sit here and say is better by far would be the Dodgers, but there's a lot of mainstay former MVPs. They've got a lot of import pitchers. We've got our guy Tommy. We'll see how he does. Tom Sagano. So as you look at the, like, he's a wild card to me. I think the Tyler O'Neill signing is one of those, I'm not going to say brilliant moves, but it's the, hey, you think we're doing this when this makes more sense from an analytical standpoint. And when you look at what you get from him and his production from his price, I think that's where you're going to look and say, hey, that paid off.
I think I'm stealing that. Whenever someone complains to me about what they did in the offseason, I'm going to ask them, whose roster is better? I'm stealing that.
Well, that's why I say this team's built for the regular season, because in the playoffs, frontline pitching does come in great bullpens. But this team also has enough capital where they can move prospects, and I know they haven't done it yet the way that fans wanted, but you got to admit, like, they have more ability at the trade deadline than most teams. But the problem has been that your top prospects have been so much better than everyone else's,
yes,
and you want to see how they develop,
yes,
that you don't want to move it for a flash-in-the-pan thing to try to make a quote-unquote run.
I think now we're at the point where you may have to move somebody for a run. We're a couple of years into this now. I can understand last year, but the further you get away from the rebuild, so to speak, because they're not in the rebuild anymore, you're now seeing the fruits of the labor.
So
the further we get away from the beginning of the rebuild, the more, in my opinion, you might need to prepare yourself for the run. Yeah. At what point are you going to run?
Yeah.
I agree. The rebuild's over. I mean, they're competitive now.
What?
That's it.
Again, so being competitive, like we've talked about this, expectations come when you're good. And this is a very good team. And it's weird to hear people talk about our team and go, oh, they suck. They're not even going to make the playoffs. And you go look at the odds and they have, I don't know, the second best odds in the AL to get to the World Series. And you try to explain to someone, well, we lost Santander. And so that's 40 home runs that's gone or whatever.
44.
That's gone. We lost Corbin Burns, and that's whatever. He's going to win 15 games with Arizona this year. And so now we've lost 50. That's not how this works. That's why wins above replacement were put there to show you, okay, you lose Corbin Burns. What if you had Dean Kramer make all the starts Corbin Burns were? Or like take Charlie Morton if you want to use somebody else. And you put that into that slot. The wins above replacement is going to show you how much better Burns is than that said pitcher at that position. And again, like, this is something where I think fans just get caught up in the moment and they see everybody else signing these players and they want to win the offseason, where I think we have one of the best front offices that is spending wisely. They may not do everything I like. I mean, hell, I told you my offseason wish was Garrett Crochet, and we talked about bringing in a Bregman and having that veteran bat and maybe moving one of the infielders to the outfield and all this other nonsense. But I'm fine with what they did.
I guess my question for people who really are really hard on them right now, be like, okay, what move did they not make that you would have liked them to make? Point to somebody.
Pitching. I think people would point at pitching.
Who would it be? You know.
Yeah. And it's fair enough. Keep Corbin Burns, and that wasn't all on them. Things like that. But I got to go back to what Jeremy said. I mean, whose roster is better? Right now, the Dodgers. I can say that. Dodgers are the best roster in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Maybe the Braves is pretty good, but they're definitely one of the top rosters in all the baseball right now. And they're that with homegrown talent.
Yeah.
These other rosters were, you know, they're like a potpourri. You got people from all over the place. Orioles, for the most part, are homegrown.
I got news for you. If they didn't sign Tyler O'Neill, Charlie Morton, Gary Sanchez as a backup catcher, this is still a really effing good team going into the regular season the way it's constituted already. And the other thing that we keep talking about is there seems to be a logjam of players. It's a good problem to have, a lot of mouths to feed that you can't get at bats every day for. So I think ultimately there has to be a move made, and they wait it out because if an injury happens, maybe it works itself out.
Yeah, maybe it does.
Like, the Red Sox got Crochet for four prospects.
One of them was a big prospect.
Yeah. Still not probably, well, they, none of them ranked higher than ours.
No.
Right? Yeah.
No, I mean, well, the kid that they got, I think, was a catcher.
We have 13 and 14 right now are our top prospects.
Yeah, but they all could have been 1 and 2. It's like, I don't know how, like, some of these places judge it when new guys get drafted in. It was obvious when Paul Skeens was drafted that he was going to just jump up the board and be one of the top three prospects.
Well, my question, I guess, would have been, would you guys have been happy if they gave up one of our major prospects and three others, like the Red Sox did to get Crochet?
I wouldn't have been. Because, again, that's another converted reliever that's going to be getting stretched out. I think he's definitely going to be a candidate for Tommy John at some point in the next few years. And I'm not wishing injury on him, right. But when you look at his pitching motion and making that switch, I think some of those things can come into play. But again, it would be like if we gave up, I don't know, like Beavers and you start looking at Judd and all these other, like you mix in some guys and Enrique Bradfield Jr., who we've heard so much about, I'd sit here and go, I don't like it, but I understand what they're doing.
You haven't heard enough about Enrique Bradfield Jr., which makes me believe that he is trade bait.
Okay.
Because he's one of the guys that they haven't blown up.
And he's one of the fastest guys in the minor league.
He's worthy of it. And the fact that they haven't really blown him up and sold him to the fan base, to me, tells me they don't want you to get attached to him.
Could be, but it also could be something, too, where maybe they envision him replacing Cedric Mullins or even if Colton Cowser had to be a bridge to make that happen when he finally gets ready, because he's still a couple years away.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like when you have a prospect that you think can be a superstar, and again, it might be that you might have a bad front office and make a bad pick and say, like, for example, I talk about Scott Kazmir all the time. He was one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. Come to find out, dude couldn't stop smoking weed, and that's one of the reasons why he got traded from the Mets to the Marlins in that weird, or the Rays in that weird trade for what, Carlos Zambrano?
I told you that we all smoking weed.
That he was just smoked out. Like, that cat was higher than giraffes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, when you look, I totally lose my train of thought thinking about that.
Giraffes?
No.
Is that what you're searching for?
It's so high, man. But, like, when you look at these types of players, like, if the Orioles think, and I keep going back to this, Kobe Mayo could be a Pete Alonso type.
Yep.
And, you know, you look at a Jackson Holliday and you think he can be, I don't even want to use Francisco Lindor. I'm shooting high with some of these. But, like, if they think they can be that type of player, why on earth wouldn't you wait to see how they develop? Like, it'd be like trading Gunnar Henderson before we knew he was Gunnar Henderson. And again, they may not work out. They may get here, face injuries, struggle, be a 4A player. It happens a lot. But if you see that value in that player, why wouldn't you keep him and try to develop him? I mean, they're telling you what they think these guys can be by not moving them.
They are. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Our barbershop topic of the day. Spring training is underway. How would you grade the Baltimore Orioles offseason? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:31 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Man, I think I love that. Whose roster is better? How do you grade the Orioles offseason?
You know what?
I mean, what moves? And Ed asks, what moves could they have made?
When you said that, all I could think of, who's better than Canyon? Sorry,
honestly, dude. I mean, I don't. What moves do they make?
If you went position by position, and I think the part that some people might struggle with is starting pitching and saying it's not up to snuff. I'm sorry, if you look around the league, I don't know teams that have five starters that they feel comfortable throwing out there on an everyday basis. And maybe the Orioles will find out that they can't be comfortable with Tommy or that's Sugano, either that pitcher or Charlie Morton or whatever. But it may not be what you want. Like Charlie Morton may be a four and a half run ERA type of guy at this point of his career. He hits a lot of bats. He strikes out guys. But I think the value that he's going to be is pitching a lot of innings for this team and then also for the younger pitchers. But they're loaded from a hitting standpoint at every position. Lefty, righty, it doesn't matter. And again, I know people are looking at this and saying, you're crazy. Or they didn't get this. The Yankees went out and got that. I don't care. They got the ghost of Paul Goldschmidt and Cody Bellinger.
Yes, they
did. And you don't know if Cody Bellinger is going to hit you 50 home runs or bat 200.
No, you do not.
And by the way, there's a chance he could do both. That's how ridiculous that guy is. So I don't know that it's going to work out.
And you're talking about the roster. You look at it now, and we're talking about, I think we're talking about Westberg recently. We're going by position. What if he ends up being like a Bregman?
I think he already is.
You were out of the studio yesterday when we talked about it. Because Rob said to me, who's better right now, Bregman or Westberg? I said, I'm taking Westberg 10 out of 10 times, even if it's just for one season.
Okay, so there's that. Gunnar is listed as the fifth best shortstop in MLB currently. Adley's listed as the number two catcher behind Contreras. Like, we already have these players.
Brian Kenny in the Shredder or MLB Network, you know where he has him rated as shortstop, don't you?
Mm-mm.
Really? He's, one. By the way, it's number tough one. Because Lindor's coming off of an MVP caliber season. Bobby Witt's coming off an MVP caliber season. Hearing him in the top five, I like it, but I agree with Brian Kenny. I think he's one or two.
I'll tell you who. This is Fox Sports. That's an old one. Wrong one.
But
the point is, you've got these guys already top five players in Major League Baseball. Like, who do you want to get rid of?
And by the way,
who are we trading?
We don't know. Jackson Holliday in limited at bats last year hit five bombs. And I know people are going, oh, it's five home runs. Calculate that out to a full season if he's playing second base and an everyday player. And oh, by the way, like this guy's just going to get better. It's just going to happen.
But you know, it's not cool for us to talk positively about them. It's not cool for us to project positively on them. It's not.
The cool thing
to do is to doubt everything they do. Listen, I don't know what Colton Cowles is going to become. I don't know whether that's the best of him last year or not, but I believe he's getting better. I don't know if Gunnar Henderson is topped out already. I just don't think he has.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Westberg is capable of being much better than he has been, and he was an all-star last year. What you got over there? You just found something?
Henderson, number one.
According to who?
This one is MLB.com.
Yep.
Because we have Sager second, Lindor third, Bobby Witt fourth, Mookie Betts, Dansby Swanson, Correa, De La Cruz. He was number one.
I think so Bobby Witt number three. Yeah. But he's been number one now according to three different sources.
And again, it's all in preference, too, when you look at those two players. Like, you can't sit here and go, this guy's definitely better than that guy. Like, we've been watching Gunnar. We get to see him every day. I'm taking that guy every time.
It's exactly my point, though. It's like, if somebody said, are Lindor's one and Gunnar's two? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But you
Bobby
have
Witt, pick. I don't care. He's one of the top in the game.
It's like saying LeBron James is no Michael Jordan.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be that.
I mean, I think Gunner's a top 15 player in baseball, regardless of position. I mean, that's throwing starting pitchers in there and everything.
Like, you know why I love that? Because my eye told me last year that Gunnar Henderson is not a 25 era guy. That's what my eye told me. So that means their eyes said the same thing. Yeah, he's not 25.
Absolutely.
And you know that Gunnar has done everything he can in the offseason not be a 25-era guy again.
Yeah.
He's not the guy.
My whole thing is, like, I can't talk baseball with you when you say, I want Mike Elias fired, because that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, you look at what he said he was going to do, what he came in and has done, and then now we need to see if it pays off on the back end. But people aren't even willing to wait to see, like, the players he's drafted and how they've developed. We have no idea what Kobe Mayo, what Kierstead, what Jackson Holliday, what Basayo is eventually going to be. All these guys have potential to be top 20 players or even top 10 players at their position.
And back-to-back years, you had the Rookie of the Year, the guy who finished second in the Rookie of the Year. So
he should have won the Rookie of the Year. That's some BS. Heel shouldn't even been the guy on the Yankees that got it. It should have been their catcher if they were going to give it to someone.
It. Mm-hmm. I did that on purpose.
Stupid ass people voting.
I know.
Take away their votes. The Orioles should be going for three in
it. Did you know somebody did not have Lamar Jackson as the number one or two MVP vote?
Take that guy. Did you know that? Jim Miller, you dumbass. Yeah. Take away his vote. Everybody responded to Jim Miller with a negative response except one cat. Who did he answer? The one cat that agreed with him.
Did he really?
Yeah, what a loser douchebag you are, Jim Miller.
Let's go to Mark in Baltimore. What's up, Mark?
Sorry. Don't do that.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I think the Orioles had, a decent offseason. I wouldn't say it was great. I think a lot of people around Baltimore, considering the change in ownership, were looking for that all-in offseason to go and spend, $250 million on player X.
On what? Oh,
which guy, though?
Somebody like that.
Freed or Burns? You're talking about a frontline pitcher.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Okay, as much as I like those frontline pitchers, we all have talked about reasons why you don't want to give a long-term contract to Max Fried, who's been injured the past 3 years. And you look at his fastball and everything else, the numbers are saying that he's going to regress. Now, regression doesn't mean he's going to become a terrible player overnight, but those last 3 years on that deal, you're going to be going, I can't believe we signed this guy. And I think the same thing happens with Burns.
I'm with you. I'm glad they didn't because of question marks. But I think there are a lot of ifs. We got to hope Rutschman gets it together, and the second half he corrects that. And I believe he will. The only move I didn't really particularly like was Tyler O'Neill. I feel like you got rid of a durable power-hitting outfielder, and you brought in an often injured power-hitting outfielder. If he has a great season and stays healthy, he's going to opt out and leave. If he doesn't, then we're stuck with him for two more years. So, but overall, they're a really good team. They got a lot of trade ammunition. I would like to see, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I would love to see Mayo and Kierstead get some consistent out at bats, to see what they can develop into. But like you said, with the left field wall coming in, Mountcastle, I expect him to bounce back. So I don't know where these at-bats are going to come from consistently. But they have the trade pieces at the deadline if they want to go out and get that guy.
And Mark, you talked about the opting out if he has a great year. I think the Orioles put that on there on purpose. So he could if he had a great year because these other guys, maybe they're having great years, and you kind of want them to opt out.
And by the way, they gave him 3 years, $49.5 million with
the
opt-out.
That's a lot of money.
It's not like if you look at what Santander got, comparatively speaking, I know everybody's talking about the home runs. You have to look at down the stretch. And this isn't, I'm not trying to crap on our players. Santander wasn't there outside of running into a few home runs the last 2 months of the season.
He wasn't.
He just wasn't.
Even his comment at the end of the season, at the end of the playoffs, was, I'm sorry I let you guys down.
And if Tyler O'Neill, this guy's capable of hitting 30 bombs in 120 games, even if he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to platoon him properly here, too. He's going to get days off. I think he's going to be used perfectly here. Still doesn't mean he won't get hurt, because hurt players get hurt, right? But I think this is I don't want to say low ball, but I think this was I'm going to say great signing either. I think it was a really good signing,
solid,
taking a chance on somebody.
Michael in Harford County. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, man. I think I don't know if you guys have been talking about it now, but I think our bullpen's going to be underrated when you added, what's his name, Kitteran?
Yeah.
And then Bautista is 90% of what he was, even 80%. I mean, you're hoping he's back. But think about it. If you got Bautista, Cano on the back end with Sir Fernando, and people realize Soto had like 10 strong outings after he got jacked up for the first two or three. He had like 10 in a row. So if he can have some semblance of that, Kitteran's a stud. Whether he continues it, his track record says he's a stud, 2.42 or something like that last year. You got Cano and you got Bautista. And then you mix in, where does Povich fits in? Wells comes back. Is Sargano, that's how you say it, the X factor, if he comes in and produces. Well, how does Suarez go back and forth? There's a lot of depth there. And I think we're just lining ourselves up. If Bradish can come back and we're in position come August, I'll take Rodriguez, Efren, and Bradish. I know with him, who knows. But if we can get those three and our bullpen and position players, and if one or two of those guys, Mayo, Kerstad, Basario's probably a year away, but he may give some stuff. Some of those other guys, I mean, I don't see, you know, I think we're setting up pretty good. All right, have a good day, guys.
Number one, the last two phone calls were baseball guys, wholeheartedly, 100%. The rolling off the names and positions and numbers, they were baseball guys. Number two, Jeremy, we brought this up last week about the bullpen. That bullpen is going to be nice, man. Mm-hmm. It is set up really nice. That bullpen is going to be, if you are a five-inning guy, we got you. We got you.
Yeah. And by the way, it's Kittredge. I think he kept saying his name wrong. But, like, the point is, and that guy was like, just give me one more second, I'll be done. No, you were on a roll. We're going to let you go.
We want to hang up, boy. Even Joe's over there nodding and saying, yes. I mean, you can roll it off like that. You know what you're talking about. Keep going.
I mean, I haven't even brought up Suarez as a starting pitcher on this team. Like, I don't know who the top two guys are.
The unsung hero of the year.
We don't know if Suarez, Povich, Morton, Sagano. Mm-hmm. Is there another wild card of somebody they invited? Is there somebody in the minors that we're not thinking about that could slide?
I've seen Sagano listed as five in the rotation.
I think he's going to be in the beginning of the year. But again, with all the off days and what they have over in Japan, like 6 days.
Right, 6 day rotations.
We're going to talk more baseball with Ben McDonald at 8:30. We got to get out of here because on the other side, we'll talk Ravens. Who will have more success over the next 3 years? The Ravens, the Chiefs, or the Bills? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Wow. Wow. Oh, boy.
Do you want me to kind of like...
No. Let's move on. Three teams. Ravens, Chiefs, Bills. Who's better over the next 3 years, Jeremy?
So the base was a banana base in a bowl that I got, and I was trying to explain the consistency of why you should never order that. That's basically it.
That's only half the story now.
Yeah, it is, but I can't tell the rest of that.
You said it tastes like something that Ed and I admitted we've never tasted
and
before.
And I've never tasted that either.
How do you know?
I said it's like when people say it tastes like crap.
Well, you get on us
for Ed said,
putting out
I know what that tastes like.
You get on us for putting our faces in places that we shouldn't put them. So we may know what that tastes like accidentally.
Over there tongue-punching fart boxes. Anyway.
But we've never kissed down there before, so we don't know.
The Bills?
Yeah, the Bills. Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens. Next 3 years, who will be better? That's a great question, by the way. Somebody wants to give it to Joe. He didn't come up with that.
You know what scares me about this? Because I think the Bills are getting... I think Miles Garrett ends up there or Max Crosby ends up there. Yeah, I think they're going to get one of the
That'd
big pass
terrible.
Rushers.
That would be awful.
That would be terrible for us.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. To be honest, like for me, it's Ravens and Bills, and I'm not trying to dismiss the Chiefs, but there's going to be some wholesale changes coming again. Kelsey's going to retire at some point real soon. You run into the cap situation of restructuring and all the things. They're getting older. They have to continue to draft well. But when I look at the Bills and Ravens and what they did last year from an offensive standpoint, it's pretty damn impressive. Like Lamar was far and away the guy that should have won the MVP. Josh Allen had an amazing season. So I think it's one of those two teams, and just so I'm not being a homer, I'll lean towards Buffalo.
Buffalo, over the next 3 years, will be better.
I think they're going to improve their wide receiving core, and I think they're going to improve their pass rush.
Ed?
Honestly, I think it's going to be the Ravens. I do. I think for similar reasons, I don't know. I would do it with a caveat and say, if Myles Garrett goes to the Bills, if Myles Garrett goes anywhere, that team gets better immediately. Same with Max Crosby. I mean, you just get exponentially better.
I'm sorry. Just to be specific, the question says, who will have more success?
Okay.
That may be a different
answer.
Oh,
that's a different question.
That's a much
different question.
Yeah, that's a different answer, too. Who will have more success? I knew what the question was. I may have said it different. And I'm thinking to myself, do these guys think just because they lost badly, the Chiefs are going away? Because that's my pick.
No, I would have to go with the Bills then. Who have more success? I think it's going to be the Bills because I think
division.
The AFC. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The AFC West is getting much better. I think the Chargers they have a much better coach now. They're getting better.
The Broncos may be
getting better. And the Bills are in such a weak division. The Jets are never going to be good. I don't think the Dolphins are going to get out of their own way. And the Patriots are in a rebuild.
The Chiefs had one of the strangest years for an upper echelon team that I think I've ever seen. They're like when you look at it statistically and you go back and nothing makes sense for what happened to them. They should have, again, and maybe this is a Patrick Mahomes effect, maybe it's a little refs, whatever. They should have lost way more games than they did this year, according to what their offense was doing. But it's almost like every game that they were in, their defense did exactly what they needed to do. The offense did just enough to win. And maybe in the stretch down the stretch, they made the play that had to be made. But from an offensive standpoint, they took a huge step back this year. And maybe they didn't need to throw as much. Maybe that's part of it. But I'm not dismissing them. I just think the other two, especially with the Bills division, that they're going to have a chance to have more success. I wonder what the Bengals are going to look like, but I think they're going to fumble this bag, man, because they have Ja'Marr Chase, and he might be the best player in football, and they got to pay him. They're franchising T. Higgins a second year in a row. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then you paid Joe Burrow.
Did they hit him with it yesterday?
Yeah, that's what the. I don't know if he got hit with it officially.
It was 4 o'clock yesterday. I think was the opening.
Well, then yes, then it did happen. Well,
it's the opening, but it's not the one that did.
No, yeah, they've said they're going to franchise him, so maybe that leads to a trade or something.
I'm going with the Chiefs. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Happy Hump Day Wednesday, guys.
Same to you.
I think it's going to be the Ravens. I think they're going to a Super Bowl next year, and you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. So he thinks the Ravens are going to be the most successful team over the next 3 years. I would say whoever wins a Super Bowl over the next 3 years, that'll be the answer, because I don't think either one of those teams will win two in the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
Now, if they all win one, then that's the case, but I don't think they'll win.
Hold on. Let me ask you this question. Do you feel like we're doing the thing with the Chiefs that we did with Tom Brady and the Patriots where it's like, yeah, this is the year. This is the, it's going to happen.
All of you guys are. I'm not.
I don't think I'm doing that. But again,
I've been doing it for 2 years.
He's been doing it for, yeah. No, no, that's a bad man. Now, you can say what you want. You say what you want. What you said was it makes no sense that they want as much as they do. That's what guys like that do. Who the hell was Recy Caldwell? Yet Tom Brady's going deep into the playoffs with that guy as his number one receiver.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. That's what those guys do. Ben McDonald joins us at 8:30 on the other side. It's Commission's Baltimore. What you got, Commission?
We're going to have our judge in studio very shortly. Judge Nicole Pastore going to be joining us.
Hey!
Talk about the
sorry.
What's going on in her courtroom this Friday?
I hope she doesn't sound like that.
No one does. Actually,
I don't know. Hey, no, next one. Next time he says it, Joe, run it back.
Get the mozzarella sticks.
Next time Ed says it, run it back. No one does.
That's what we're doing.
Commissioners Baltimore up next on The Fan.